Tonight's video is about a young couple who made arrangements to meet the girlfriend's parents for the first time, but decided to take a short little hike as they had extra time available in that afternoon. And what happens to them and what he encounters will terrify you. Stay tuned. If you're new to the channel, subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up and tell a friend. Now, let's get spooky. Before this happened, I would have said Bess was perfect. She was funny, ambitious, smart, and yes, attractive too. But the biggest thing is that she calmed and quieted my anxious and noisy mind. Just being with her made the world a bit less overwhelming. I'm a nervous person, so of course I was nervous to meet her family, especially since we had only been dating a month, but she was insistent. She had actually started asking just a week after our first date. She said her family was so important to her, and became more and more upset each time that I didn't say yes. Eventually, I got the feeling that if I said no again, that'd be the end of our relationship, so I finally agreed. She was from this small town about 5 hours away. So not only was I meeting her family for the first time, it was also our first time traveling together too. We decided to make a trip out of it, and gave ourselves a few days before the trip we planned to meet up with them. The trip started out really well. We got to spend a lot of time outdoors, and she seemed happier than I had ever seen her. Bess never seemed to love the city with all its lights, noise, and people. She was certainly in her element out there where the trees vastly outnumbered people. In fact, I rarely even saw another person besides a few employees at the motel and grocery store. And then, the day came to meet them. We were supposed to meet them at 9 p.m. at night, which I thought was a bit late for dinner, but agreed to. The thing that really threw a wrench into the whole thing was when Bess told me in the late afternoon of the day of that she wanted to go for one last hike before we met them. I wasn't super enthused over the idea. I was already close to an anxiety attack over meeting everyone. She said that her family was pretty big. I didn't want to be sweaty and exhausted on top of that. But she looked so miserable when she said she needed just a bit more fresh air before we went back. She said it was a short hike, so I agreed. Once we started, I had to hand it to her. It was amazing at the beginning. The trees were tall and densely packed, so they cast a cool shadow over us, and many of the leaves had already begun to turn yellow in the crisp autumn air. Those that had already fallen crunched under our feet. A small, clear stream meandered back and forth near the trail, lazily splashing along the water-worn stones. It was a fairly easy hike for the most part. She had a map that she had printed at the motel and flashed at me to show the trail in a big loop and was only a few miles long. Even though it was beautiful, I couldn't fully enjoy it. I kept checking my watch anxiously since we only had a few hours to spare. She said she had timed everything and didn't seem concerned, but she wasn't exactly the most punctual person herself. At one point, Bess's eyes lit up. She grabbed my hand and told me that she wanted to see something. She led us into the thicker trees off the trail, but I wasn't too worried about the detour at first since we had the map. As we went on, there were wear marks through the grass and dirt along that path that snaked between trees. We also encountered assorted debris that indicated that even if it wasn't part of the trail, we weren't the first people to come along this way. It was odd, though, that instead of trash, we instead came across items of actual value strewn throughout the woods. Every so often, we'd come across trekking poles, boots, or bits of tarp that littered the ground. I've even seen some pricey jackets shredded and tossed carelessly high into the branches of the trees, casting odd shadows below. The gear varied in age, but some of the stuff so carelessly tossed aside looked brand new. We went on longer than expected, and despite heavily hinting that I was ready to go back, she continued moving forward, kept insisting that we'd hit it in the trail at any moment now. I was worried that we'd be late to dinner with her family, and I really didn't want to make a bad first impression. As the terrain became harder to navigate, I was focused on my feet and the trail that I lost track of time and only really realized how much time had passed when the sun began to sink below the horizon, vastly reducing the light around us. Everything around us seemed to hazily blend together in the low light, and I had lost track of where we were about 3 sharp detours ago, so I desperately hoped she was right. So, my stomach dropped a bit when she looked around, a thinly veiled look of concern on her face, and confessed that she had accidentally left the map in the car. She still said that she was certain it looped back around, we just needed to go a bit further. And then, it was 7:45 already. The further we went, the more a thick silence settled around us. Eventually, I couldn't hear anything besides our own footsteps. The silence had a palpable presence to it. I had the feeling that wild things were still moving and calling out around us in the fading light. It was more so as if the sound had been stripped away. As we went on, despite Bess there with me, I felt strangely alone. She was usually always smiling, joking, laughing. But like the woods themselves, she too had fallen silent some time ago. I was never really afraid of the woods at night before. But with the creeping darkness and knowledge that we were utterly and completely lost, the trees seemed to take on an ominous cast as the last of the light began to fade. Every now and then, I thought that I saw something glide through the spaces between the trees. But whenever I turned to look, there was nothing there. A hint of earthly decay, mixed with something metallic-smelling, wafted through the gnarled trees ahead, which most certainly did not improve the ambience. The creek we walked along gradually lost all of its charm as it became wider, deeper. The further into the woods we went, it became a sinister shade of nearly black and gave off an awful odor. I have this inexplicable fear of deep or dark water, anything where I can't see the bottom, so walking alongside it did not help my growing sense of dread. Bess no longer followed any pretense of the trail and didn't seem even remotely concerned about being late or even lost for that matter. She led me through the thick vines, steep drop-offs, and uneven ground. She stared straight ahead with a singular and unbreakable focus, only turning around every so often, emotionlessly, to make sure that I was still behind her. I could feel pressure in my ears the further we went into the dense woods. At one point, as she slid sideways between the trees and dropped out of my sight entirely and into the darkness, I had a bad feeling in a brief moment of panic, but was able to catch up with her. "I think we should just turn back," I panted, the long hike and rough terrain wearing on me, but she didn't seem to hear me or pretended not to. She navigated so effortlessly, with steps that seemed almost practiced. In contrast, my clothes and skin were getting snagged on thorny branches, and despite using my flashlight, I found myself tripping over roots, rocks, and the occasional object left behind by people that walked this path before us. One time, I nearly fell on my face, tripping over an old, stained hiking boot. Still, she continued on. I was worried, since the temperature had been dropping quickly ever since the darkness had enveloped us, and we weren't prepared to spend the night out here in the woods. I couldn't help but continue to shoot uneasy glances at the gaping blackness of the creek, as if I expected something to crawl out and drag me in. I saw something bobbing in the water that startled me and made me do a double take. It looked like a person was floating face down. I inhaled sharply and hesitantly stepped over some fallen branches and headed to take a closer look. I flashed my phone light towards the water, and to my immense relief, it was just one of those big camping backpacks. I couldn't help but notice, though, that area had a strange feel to it. A mournfulness, and took one last look. When I turned back around, Bess was directly behind me, blending in with the shadows. I hadn't even heard her approach. She was only inches away and stared at me in near darkness. Her eyes narrowed at me. As we stood, she studied me. I became intensely aware of how close my feet were to the sharp embankment, and gave an involuntary shudder. "Something feels wrong about this place. Do you feel it too?" I asked quietly. She thought for a moment before nodding. I asked her if we could turn back, but she told me we were almost there. I had lost confidence in her navigational skills hours ago, but I didn't want to leave her alone in the woods, or be alone in the woods myself, to be honest, so I followed her despite my incredible unease. As we went on, I could see the outlines of more odd objects, which turned out being more camping gear and clothing in various states of ruin and decay, in the creek and strewn up on the banks. There were some crumpled tents, even what looked to have once been a very expensive mountain bike. There lingered a sort of despair in this part of the woods that weighed me down the further we went. After a while longer, I had decided that I had had enough. It was 8:50. It had been several hours, and I really hoped that she had told her family where we were going beforehand, so at least someone would know where to look for us when we didn't show up at their place. I was frustrated and upset by this point. She had made such a big deal about meeting everyone, but seemed to sabotage the chance of them actually liking me by taking us on this seemingly endless trek through the woods and being too stubborn to turn back. She had become cold and acted strange the more lost we became, which wasn't helping. "I'm gonna head back," I called out, since she had gone so far ahead of me. I hoped that would have convinced her. Not only were we totally going to miss dinner with her family, but we also had spent hours off trail in the darkness. She stopped and just stared at me, making it clear that she wasn't moving, and waited for me to approach her instead. She smirked at me as I did, and I noticed that her face looked odd in the shadows. Her eyes seemed longer somehow, and they had taken on an odd sheen. In the moonlight, it looked as if something was rippling just under the surface of her skin. "You promised you'd meet my family. You don't want to meet them?" she asked, as she leaned closely to me. Her voice was soft but strange. I looked at my watch pointedly and stared at her, thinking she was losing it. I shined my light around us to demonstrate that we were clearly in the middle of nowhere, and noticed that clothing, gear, and shoes were littered so much more on the ground here. The smell of earthly decay had intensified to the point I could almost taste it. I tried not to gag. I suddenly felt an odd pressure in my head. Perhaps if not the shroud of silence, I would have heard the twigs snapping in the distance, or the branches moving high in the trees. I did eventually see them, though. The silhouetted forms just beyond where we stood. There were so many of them. The pressure grew so intense that my ears popped and I felt a sharp stabbing pain in my head. Worse even than anything I had felt before. I felt myself drop to my knees, trying to stay aware and conscious through the pain. I tried reaching around blindly for Bess, but couldn't find her. When I managed to focus again, I could see that there were people encircling us from the shadows. No, not people. Looking more closely, even in that scant light, I could tell that the faces were wrong. They were too long, too slender. The bodies weren't right either, but the eyes were the worst part. Multitudes of teeth glinted at me in the moonlight. I frantically looked around for Bess, only to see that she was a part of the circle that had formed around me, and stared at me with a predatory sort of look I had never seen on her face before. She started to shudder and twitch as her skin rippled, as if something was trapped underneath and aching to come out. Whatever it was, I knew I didn't want to meet it. While she was in that prone state, I ran towards her and shouldered past her, taking her by surprise. Sharp nails from her neighbors in the circle grabbed onto me aggressively as I slid past, slashing the back of my backpack. I quickly realized that they were far more agile than I was, and even worse, when I had turned around, I saw that my ruined bag was leaving a trail of items in my wake. I was forced to toss it off and slide as I stumbled through the darkness, hoping that that would maybe throw them off and buy me some time. I knew they'd have no problem catching up with me. That, plus the growing number of clothing I was forced to dodge, some with rotting pieces of original wearers still inside, made me doubt that I would ever make it home again. I eyed the opaque black water of the creek, and yes, I did seriously debate if I'd rather be torn to pieces or face my irrational but intense fear. At the lack of sound and as pressure in my ears intensified again, I could tell I didn't have much time. I ran to the steep bank and slid into the blackish creek. I tried to obscure myself under the backpacks, tents, clothing, and did my best to keep silent, which was difficult after finding clumps of hair and other things I'd rather not describe, floating in that stinking water. I frantically wondered if they would come in the water after me. Did they hunt there too? Or had the remains of their victims just been carelessly tossed here? I fear I'd feel the objects covering me lift away at any moment and be dragged out forcefully. Since I couldn't hear them, despite knowing that they were up in the trees and searching along the ground, I tried to keep covered and moved only when the pressure of my ears subsided. At one point, I heard Bess in her strange voice calling out to me on the bank just next to me. It took me hours to get away because I feared that if I moved too fast, they'd come for me. I spent most of that time coated with the remains of hikers and campers and others likely brought to meet the family that were long gone from this world. But I finally made it back to my car safely. I made the 5 hours drive back home without going to a hotel for my stuff. I didn't even stop once and bolted my door from the inside when I got home. I moved out of that apartment not long after and tried to avoid any place I knew best to frequent. I did eventually see her again, though. She was beaming at another guy my age, her hand intertwined with his. Looking back, I wish I would have thought of a way to warn him, but instead, I just froze as they walked by and she smiled at me. I just hope he didn't agree to meet her family.